Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast. Come on. Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I am the host of It's Everything West Texas. And as you already know, we always bring in programs that are interesting to the community. This program today is a basic program. I don't know how much more basic we can be, because it is something that concerns everybody. It's something that everyone needs. And what I'm talking about is eating. Everyone has to eat. And so in the studio today, we have Betty Bradley with Meals on Wheels Plus. They've been having a few challenges over there, so I've asked Betty to be on the program today, and we want to talk through some of that. So welcome to the podcast today, Betty.
Thank you, Floyd. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here. You, one of those individuals that definitely work in a essential service, Meals on Wheels. How long have you been there, Betty?
Well, Meals on Wheels was formed in 1975, in May of 1975, and I was actually elected to the first board of directors. And one of our challenges at that point was we had about 80 people who needed meals, all of them living here in Abilene, kind of in the center of Abilene. And we didn't have money, but we needed somebody to be in, we needed somebody to be in charge of the program. And so after searching and trying to find somebody who was willing to be a full-time volunteer, I was asked if I would do it, and I didn't have the skills to do it. I didn't know a lot of things that I knew would be needed, but I prayed about it, and I felt a calling, and so in July of 1975, I agreed to be a full-time volunteer executive director. So I've been here for 50 years. I do get paid now, though.
Okay. Well, congratulations. I mean, that's quite a commitment. So you have seen Meals on Wheels from the ground up.
That's right. Stepping into it now would be, overwhelming. But by being at the beginning and building it slowly, it's been something that I've learned how to grow myself and my skills, and how to try to meet the needs of the community.
Well, the reason I wanted you here today is I've been hearing something about possibly some budget challenges. I noticed in your February newsletter you were speaking to Congressman Jody Arrington, who is the chair of the House Budget Committee. And there was a possibility of some funds being cut. Where is that? Do y'all have any clarity on that at this point?
Well, right now, both the House and the Senate in Congress have set a budget amount and sent it to a committee. The Senate has sent it to the Senate Finance Committee. The House has sent it to the House Ways and Means Committee. And both of those committees are charged with reducing spending to match a dollar amount that's been agreed on by the budget committee of each of the House and the Senate. And so that's where it is right now. Jody Arrington is still a key player in what that's going to look like coming out of the House. And Senator Corn is a key player in the Senate that will have some influence on how it comes out of the Senate.
Okay, so So it's still up in the air. You don't know for sure what's going to happen with it.
The way things are happening in Washington right now, it's a new surprise almost every day. So no, we don't know what it's going to look like. It looks rather depressing because the funding that we rely on primarily from the federal government, and it's our only federal dollars that we receive, is part of the Social Services Block grant. It's been on the chopping block to be eliminated from time to time in the past, and it's on the chopping block again. And so with Congress wanting to control spending and reduce spending, and I'm definitely in favor of reducing spending and trying to get our budget more under control, but when they're looking at cutting services that impact children, persons with disabilities, the elderly, some of the poorest and neediest in our nation, that's a real concern. And that's what the Social Services Block Grant does.
And so basically what we're talking about here from your standpoint, we're talking about taking food out of the mouths of babes and other people that otherwise wouldn't have it. I mean, is that pretty much on spot?
Yes, that's true, Floyd. The Social Services Block Grant is part of the Social Security Act. It's a block of funds that's given to each state, and each state then can decide what services they want to provide for the people in their state with those funds. And we call them Title 20 funds. In Texas, those funds are used to help with 20 different programs, included our Adult Protective Services, Child Protective Services, Adult Daycare, Child Daycare, and Home Delivered Meals, which is Meals on Wheels. There's 107 Meals on Wheels programs in Texas that receive those Title 20 funds. And for our program, the one operating out of Abilene, our budget's like $3.7 million. $1.9 million of that is from the Social Services Block Grant funding. That's Title 20 funding. Mm-hmm. If that goes away, we're probably going to have to reduce our client base by more than half.
Wow.
We have something a little over 1,700 clients. We're serving not only Abilene, but 14 small communities in the surrounding area. And those funds are critical for us to be able to reach out, not only serve the needy in Abilene, but in places as far north as Aspermont, as far south as Rowena, and a lot of communities in between.
Okay, so have you or any of your board members been able to talk with Congressman Jody Arrington?
We haven't actually been able to talk personally with him. I was able to have a virtual meeting, like a Zoom meeting, with his legislative assistant in Washington, D.C., about a week ago. And I also was able to have a similar meeting with Senator Corin's legislative assistant. I'm scheduled to go to Washington, D.C. To participate in an educational panel for the Senate Democratic Caucus staff members on March the 11th, next Tuesday. And I'm trying to see if I can get in to see Jody Arrington and Senator Corin while I'm there.
Well, I would certainly hope so. I mean, you're from his district. That would only be great if you could. So what is it that we can do? Is there anything we can do in relationship to Congressman Arrington? Should we be reaching out to him? Is there anything that
Yes. emails, phone calls, snail mail letters to Representative Jody Arrington, to our two senators, to anybody else that is in Congress that represents this area. We have, we serve EULA, and there's a different representative that handles EULA. We do Rowena Ballinger and Winters, and there's a different representative there. So I've reached out to all of those. Now, Floyd, I think there's people that don't really understand what Meals on Wheels does. Do you mind if I kind of cover that?
Yeah, I was wanting to ask you about it. And yeah, tell us exactly what it does.
Okay. Meals on Wheels is available for people that are 65 and older and have health problems and have a need for somebody to provide a balanced meal for them. We also serve younger adults with one or more disabilities, people 18 to 65 that may have mental, emotional, or physical disabilities or a combination. And so we serve people regardless of what their financial situation is. Those that are able to make a donation are asked to do so, but the majority of our over 1,700 clients receive the meals free because they're low income. We have the meals delivered by volunteers, and there's always a need for volunteers. There's people out there that would like to do something that truly makes a difference. You know, if they call us at 672-5050 and tell us they're interested in being a volunteer, we'll provide training. It's easy to do, and I think you'd find the people creeping into your heart. But one of the things we do is we train the volunteers how to respond in the event that they find somebody in a health crisis. And so the volunteers that deliver a meal are delivering a freshly prepared lunch Monday through Friday, and they're also doing a wellness check on each person on their route, and they're forming friendships, and they often do other little things for people. We've had some pretty tragic situations happen over the years. And just recently, we had a volunteer delivering out of Ovallo, which is south of Abilene. And there's a couple that are in their late 70s that live about 6 miles west of Ovallo. When the volunteer got there with their meals that day, they found that the lady of the household had walked down the driveway and fallen. And she had fallen about 8 o'clock in the morning. She fell into some shrubbery. She was able to pull herself out of the shrubbery, but she was not able to get up. The volunteer found her, called 911, and the lady's husband has Alzheimer's. He was in the house with his headphones on watching TV. And he'd been there since 8 o'clock in the morning. He didn't know that he needed to go look for his wife. And she was transported to the hospital with 2 cracked ribs, a broken rib, a punctured lung, and a lot of abrasions and so forth for where she fell into the shrubbery. If it hadn't have been for a Meals on Wheels volunteer, I'm not sure who might have found her. Maybe the mailman? I'm not sure where her mailbox was compared to where she had fallen. Then that same day, another volunteer found a client who had fallen in her house and broken her shoulder and wasn't able to get up. And then the next day, a volunteer delivering a meal didn't get an answer to the door and called Meals on Wheels, which they're trained to do. And we called a friend who was pretty sure that the lady was at home. She had some dementia. And so we called the police for a wellness check, and they were able to get in the house. And they found her on the floor, and she was still conscious, but in pretty bad shape. And we have a feeling that because of her dementia, she accidentally overdosed on some medication. And so the volunteers save lives as well as delivering a meal. We did a client satisfaction survey a couple of months ago. It was actually in November. And over 61% of the people that responded to that survey said that the lunch that they receive from Meals on Wheels is more than half of what they have to eat each day. That's pretty sad. It's a balanced meal. It's a good meal. But you can tell that a lot of people don't have much else to eat.
Well, these are just hard-jerking, powerful stories. But I know some of this to be true. This is kind of a personal story. We're going back quite a few years, but my mother-in-law lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee before she came out here. And one of the reasons we were able to keep her there was they had a program called Senior Meals. And we actually paid for it, but I was going through some old stuff the other day, and I saw those checks that my wife wrote out to Senior Meals over there in Chattanooga. And she eventually did have to come and live with us, but I know what you're saying is true. And we have a son here that does volunteer with Meals on Wheels, Ellis Miller. Yeah, he works with people that have some different challenges. And I think it was those individuals that were with the challenges that wanted to do that. And, you know, he started doing it with them. So he has soft place in his heart for things like that, too.
Yeah.
So we are hoping that and praying that this, you don't have this significant budget cut that's a possibility. But what are some other things that you all are doing to bring in funds?
Well, we depend on donations from individuals, businesses, church groups, social clubs, and others, you know, to make up the difference between the money we get from Title 20 and what our actual expenses are. And we've been swamped with requests for meals over the last 12 months or longer. And we get requests every day. We get requests from people that have suffered a stroke and they've lost use of one side of their body, and we've got people that are on hospice, and we're getting so many requests, and we're going ahead and serving them as fast as we can get them enrolled, even though we don't have funding to cover the costs of the meals. So donations are badly needed. We also need volunteers to help deliver meals. We don't have enough volunteers, and so I end up having to pay a few people to deliver meals because we don't have enough volunteers. So donations, volunteers, contacting congressmen, and then let us know if there's somebody that you know that really needs the meals, and we'll have a case manager make a home visit and see if they meet our criteria, and we'll deliver meals to them. We don't want people that are really suffering from health issues and ability to care for themselves to go hungry. One of the interesting facts about Meals on Wheels programs, the cost of meals for one person for an entire year is roughly the cost of one day in the hospital or 10 in a nursing home. So when we can have nutrition going into home, having somebody with that social connection and checking on them, we're actually helping save money for medical expenses, probably fewer doctor visits, less need to go to the emergency room, fewer hospital stays. Malnutrition is a real serious problem for the elderly. With mobility issues and with financial challenges. So many elderly people can't afford to buy food for a whole month. And then even if they could, they have trouble shopping. They are not able to stand long enough to prepare a balanced meal. So a Meals on Wheels program would be something that actually helps us economically because we're saving medical dollars.
Okay, so we Meals on Wheels is keeping people out of maybe, like you said, the hospitals, the nursing homes.
Right.
And actually saving lives. Now, I know that what you've said is powerful, but speak to the busy people that say, well, somebody else is going to do that. I think I'll pass on this. Grab their attention just a minute and tell them one more time maybe why they should be that person that step up if they've never done it before, or maybe even add a little more if they possibly can.
If somebody, I've had people tell me, okay, it's the church's responsibility to take care of the widows and the orphans and those in need. Our churches are struggling, many of them are, and they have so many opportunities for mission work, both in the community and elsewhere. And we actually get very few dollars from church groups. I think that what would make a difference for somebody is stopping to think about, okay, what if my mother or my grandmother, or maybe even myself at some point, needed help with Meals on Wheels? What if, because of health problems, my grandmother's not able to prepare balanced meals for herself? I can't do it because I work all day, or I live in a different community. And when you stop and think about, it could be me or someone I love, let me help someone else and kind of pay it forward by helping someone else that maybe someday when I need the meals or someone in my family, somebody will pay it forward so that service is available.
I like that idea, that concept of paying it forward, because we all basically on the same journey, and what happens to one person could certainly happen to all of us. Is that
not
true?
That's true. Yeah. I told you about that we served 14 little communities, and people may have a question about why are we doing that. We've gone into some communities that never did have a Meals on Wheels program because there were people there that needed the meals and were requesting them from us. So we were able to go into several communities because of that. Then there's other communities that did have a Meals on Wheels program, and the program closed, usually for financial reasons. And often also in the small communities, they have trouble finding staff to run the program. So it's often a financial and staffing problem. But when the Hamlin Hospital closed, they lost their Meals on Wheels program. And because the Hamlin Hospital was sponsoring the Meals on Wheels program. And so we were asked to move into Hamlin. In Runnels County, the Runnels County Commissioner's Court was a sponsoring group for Meals on Wheels in Winters, Ballinger, and Rowena. And the commissioners decided at some point they really could not afford to continue to do that. The county had so many needs and they didn't have enough budget to do it. So we were asked to move into those communities. More recently, the Anson Meals on Wheels program because of financial and personnel issues, problems, challenges. They closed at the end of December of 2024 and asked us to pick up Anson. So we've gone in to meet a need, and we've often done it in faith. A lot of times there's not much financial support from that community, and that's why they either never had a Meals on Wheels program or the program had to close. And so we've gone in faith. We've tried to encourage people in those communities to make donations and explain to them that donations given by people in Anson will be used to feed people in Anson. That money given in each community stays in that community. And so we're able to slowly kind of grow some financial resources in the communities.
Okay, you said, you mentioned earlier that you've had to pay some of your drivers because you didn't get enough volunteers. About how much money could you save if we could get volunteers versus you having to?
Oh, that's a question I haven't put a pencil to, so I'm not sure. When I pay somebody, okay, Floyd, let me explain. A lot of our volunteers deliver meals one day a week. We have some that deliver meals more frequently, but a lot of them do it one day a week. They've got a specific route. They deliver to the same people all the time, and that gives them the opportunity to form a relationship with those people. And so that's important. But every day we have a large number of routes that we don't have a volunteer for. So we'll ask somebody that delivers maybe on a Monday if they could also help us on Thursday, for instance. And we'll try. And then when I don't have anybody, I'll send alpha staff out, you know, to deliver meals. And so I'm paying them mileage, and then I'm also paying them a salary. And it would be kind of difficult to go back and see how much money we'd save, but we could save quite a lot.
Okay.
And then we do have a few people that we pay a small amount, hourly wage plus mileage, to deliver whatever routes need to be done every day. And I've got about five or six people that do that. So every volunteer that we can get helps save money.
Okay, well, I think if people that's been listening can see that you're passionate about this program. It's a program that has a real purpose. I mean, it basically boils down to saving lives. Not only are you putting a meal in somebody's stomach, but those three or four stories you told could probably all equate to life-saving stories if somebody from Meals on Wheels had not showed up. Is there anything else that you would like to say to the listening audience about your program?
Again, they can call 672, the area code's 325, phone number 672-5050. They can come by our location, or they can mail their donations to our location. We're at 717 North 10th Street, Abilene, Texas, 79601. So donations, volunteering, contacting congressmen, those are all important things. And if someone out there needs meals, we want to know about it. We are tightening up our eligibility criteria because of we're already operating in the red. And so we're having to cut back. We're not doing some things that we usually do to try to save money. And so we're tightening our belt and trying to continue to provide service to those with a need. And we're operating on faith.
Okay, so it seems like any money, any amount that's coming in would be welcome at this time. And so I'm going to encourage everybody to just look at that piggy bank, so look at whatever they've got, and really consider making a donation to Meals on Wheels. Betty, I thank you for being here. I thank you for being faithful to that program for 50 years. Any big celebration, anything that y'all are doing for the 50th?
Yes, we have a celebration on May 22nd. It's on a Thursday at the Doubletree Hotel downtown. Terry Bradshaw is our guest speaker. And we have tickets for individual seats, and we also are selling sponsorships for tables. And some of the higher sponsorships, Floyd, get a free football that's signed by Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, wow.
So, and the people that sponsor tables also gets tickets to a reception before the dinner where they get to have their picture taken with Terry Bradshaw. So May 22nd, and it's at the Doubletree, and I have information about sponsoring a table, about individual tickets, and we'd love to have a full house for that event and help us celebrate 50 years.
Okay, again, congratulations. God bless you. God bless Meals on Wheels, and I pray that things will come back up and you'll continue to serve many people for many more years. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Floyd.
It's Everything
Appreciate
West
you.
Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.